ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another PC Boys podcast. This is your boy, Logan. I hope you're all having a fantastic day. Before we get started today, as per usual, the link tree will be in the description down below, so please go follow our socials and the other podcasts I do on Rumble if you're into commentaries about society, politics, religion, and whatnot. But today, here on the main channel, we have a lot to discuss. Obviously, as you guys know, whenever I do podcasts, they are very spaced out, mainly because I'm in school and I'm in the newsroom, so a lot of my time is focused in on that and doing podcasts for the newsroom and getting stories and interviews. So my week's pretty booked most of the time. But I finally have a little bit of time, and there is a lot of movement going on at Marvel, and specifically we are going to be talking about the Thunderbolts today. We're going to be talking about, briefly, the Spider-Man animated series and kind of what's going on with that, as well as talking about Spider-Man 4, which there's a lot of updates on. So let's start off with the Thunderbolts first, because this is the movie I would say that's closest to us. This is still supposed to come out next year, during the summertime, and they're still shooting it, but the other day, Florence Pugh, surprisingly, I saw this on Instagram, but she put out, a video of what's going on behind the scenes of the set. Obviously, I'm not going to watch it, but it is up on our Twitter if you do want to see it, as well as it's posted to Marvel Studios' official Instagram and Twitter pages. But essentially, she shows some of the, like, her costume, what her hair looks like in the film, some of the sets that they're currently building and whatnot, and they also show a frame of, what looks to be Yelena pointing a gun at somebody. It doesn't really give away a lot, but we, of course, you know, have known that the Thunderbolts, of course, have been in development for a while. It's been kind of one of those films that's been pushed to the side, if you will, in terms of discussion at the most recent Disney investors call. They didn't bring up Blade, and they didn't bring up Thunderbolts, which, of course, had a lot of people speculating, like, is it getting delayed? Is it getting pushed forward? Or are things getting canceled? And even with Blade, which I haven't talked a lot about Blade because there hasn't been a lot to talk about, but Blade's lost a significant supporting actor as well as their new writer, so Blade's kind of like back to square one again. I personally think that movie's going to get canceled, even though I want to watch Blade and I want to get a new Blade. I don't think it's going to happen based upon just the development hell of that movie in particular, which is really funny because, number one, it's one of the cheapest films, if not the cheapest film that Marvel Studios can make, and it's a very simple, basic premise and plot. So it's kind of funny how they can't seem to get that one down. But anywho, looking at the Thunderbolts, we also got to look at their new logo as well, through that behind-the-scenes look as well. So there is a little bit of I guess you could say, inside looks as to what's going on with the Thunderbolts. But still, a lot of things are being kept under wraps. Currently, Captain America 4, you know, is dealing with a lot of issues. A lot of people are not enjoying the movie. They think it's too political and there's too much stuff in it that just isn't making sense or just kind of feels shoehorned in. So the test screenings have not been positive, to say the least, for Captain America 4 or New World Order or Brave and the Bold. I can't even remember what the hell the title is. It's been through different title renditions. But it's really unfortunate too, because apparently Captain America 4 was going to be dealing a lot with like Hulk and the Super Soldier Serum and dealing with the leader and Red Hulk and whatnot. So it's very interesting to see that, you know, quite a few of these Marvel projects have been in development hell. I wouldn't say the Thunderbolts has been in as much of development hell. I heard a while back that they decided to remove Ghost from the lineup, which was supposed to be one of the characters that was last seen in Ant-Man and the Wasp, back before Endgame. And obviously Taskmaster is a part of the team. You have, you know, Valentina, you have Yelena, Red Guardian, Bucky. I'm trying to think who else was a part of that team as well. I think there's one other person. I forgot the entire lineup, but I think I covered most of them anyways. But yeah, from the behind the scenes look, it looks like it's going very well. The filming's going pretty smoothly. It's just now about, you know, what is it that it's going to actually look like when we actually get a first look at it in a trailer and stuff. I'm actually excited for the Thunderbolts. I know the Thunderbolts isn't like a big name in Marvel or like this big franchise, if you will, compared to like the Avengers or something. But I always thought that it was a pretty cool you know, comic storyline and the different teams that they've had as the years have gone on. Just like with the Avengers or any other team, there's always different members that come and go. But I've always found the Thunderbolts to be like a breath of fresh air. If you will, it's the Suicide Squad of the Marvel Universe, but I wouldn't really say it's the Suicide Squad. But that's the best way that we can define it. However, though, moving on from the Thunderbolts, because that's really all that we have to go on is just some behind-the-scenes stuff, but I'm glad that production's going very well. Let's talk about the ending of Captain Marvel 2, or the Marvels. So it was reported by Alex P. of the Cosmic Circus, and he is also the sources for the Spider-Man info as well, that Monica Rambeau is going to be a big piece of Avengers Secret Wars and kind of like what leads up to that. And essentially, it's explained that because of her presence in this new X-Men world that she entered, which we don't know if it's the Fox X-Men universe, like the main continuity one, or if it's some other universe with the X-Men in it. Apparently, by her existing in that reality, it's going to cause this Nexus event where what the fuck's the name of it? I should know this. I've read the comics many of times. It happened in one of the newer Secret Wars incursion. There you go. The word was escaping me for a quick second. But yeah, so essentially by her being in that universe, it's going to cause an incursion, and that X-Men world is going to come into direct contact with the 616 main MCU continuity. And that's what's being discussed. Now, I think that this is a great idea. It gives Monica's character more room to grow, more room in the spotlight, and gives her a purpose, which I think is great, because when it came to the Marvels, I just kind of felt like she was just there, and her character was to have, like, this conflicted relationship with Captain Marvel, because she, you know, thought that she would come back, and she didn't. But outside of that little, like, personal conflict, I didn't think Monica Rambeau had, like, the biggest involvement or a super huge role in the Marvels. I think that the Marvels mainly was connected to Miss Marvel and Captain Marvel. Captain Marvel are obviously being connected to the Kree and the reason why the villain is, you know, doing what she's doing, Dar-Ben. But when it came to Miss Marvel, her and the bangle obviously had a connection to, of course, Dar-Ben and her bangle and where it originated from. So those two felt like the main characters of the Marvels, where, you know, Monica just kind of seemed shoehorned in there. But it's good that they're going to give her an actual, like, major purpose going into the next big Avengers film. Obviously, we have an Avengers film, Avengers 5, no longer titled The Kang Dynasty, just Avengers 5. Even though that movie's still coming, I would argue Secret Wars is the big one, right, that everybody's looking forward to. But it's good to know that Monica Rambeau is going to have a big role and that they're going to flesh out her character more, which I think is fantastic. I personally thought that she was good in the Marvels, but not my favorite character or anything. It's just mainly because she felt like she was just kind of there. But with what she was given, I thought she did a pretty good job. But yeah, so more Secret Wars information, I guess is the best way to put it. When it comes to Secret Wars, there's a lot of things being talked about, from Doctor Doom to the X-Men versus the Avengers, to, you know, Peter getting the black symbiote suit and stuff, right? Because we know that the symbiote suit is coming. But yeah, there's a lot of talk as to what's going to be happening with Secret Wars, who's going to be the main villains, what's going to happen. But it's good to know that there is a building block. And I would actually, personally argue that Monica Rambeau being in that X-Men universe and causing an incursion that directly leads the universe that she's in and that Earth to come into direct contact with the 616 Earth gives a perfect setup for the X-Men versus the Avengers. I think it's a perfect setup for that, personally. Rather they choose to use that in Avengers Secret Wars or before, that's up to Marvel Studios and what their plans are. But I think it's a great way to bring all that together. It doesn't mean they're going to, but that would be kind of my thought process, is that they would just bring those two together. Just because it makes the most logical sense. But I think the biggest and most crazy important information is finally we're getting some more concrete stuff on Spider-Man 4 from the directors that they're looking at, to the potential starting of the filming and release date that they have going on. So currently as it stands, right, the top choice to direct Spider-Man 4 is Justin Lee, which should sound familiar to anybody that's watched Fast and the Furious because he did the earlier Fast and the Furious movies. So he's like the main pick right now for director of Spider-Man 4. Now, originally, Sony wanted to bring John Watts back and have him direct the next Spider-Man trilogy. But Marvel Studios wanted to move away from John Watts and bring in somebody else, because obviously we're entering a new era of Peter Parker and Spider-Man's story, and we want it to feel different than the previous era, which was supposed to be like Spider-Man's MCU origin. At least that's how the three movies were described. I'm not really a big fan of that take, and I'm not really a big fan that that's how they went about it, but that is how it went down. So I think that this is good, that they want to take a different route. And it seems like Marvel Studios got to win at least on that piece anyways. So that is like their main director that they're currently looking at as well. Now, it's also being reported that they are looking to start filming around September or October of this year. This is not confirmed, but as of right now, the major rumor, or the major, I guess, push, is to get it to start to be filmed by, fall of this year. And if that's the case, the release date will probably be somewhere around late 2025, early 2026, if they do start filming late this year. If filming gets pushed into next year, then it definitely will not be out till 2026, and at that point, it could be anywhere from, like, spring to summertime. So when we get more information on when they actually start filming, we can then talk about when we think the actual release date will probably be around. But then again, you can't even say, you know, that whenever they start filming that, oh, this is like the time that they'll put it out, because Ironheart has been done filming and has been edited and everything. It's just sitting on a shelf right now. So yeah, but I mean, we're talking about Spider-Man though. You know, Ironheart versus Spider-Man, which one's going to make more money? It's not really a competition. So obviously they're not going to have it sit on a shelf or anything, but I'm just saying like release dates could get mixed around. But that's kind of like the second major report. That's also reported by Alex P of the Cosmic Circus as well. We do have some more information on Spider-Man 4. I don't have it on my Twitter feed. But essentially what we're hearing is that Spider-Man's story for Spider-Man 4 is going to be Spider-Man essentially embracing that identity and that role of Spider-Man and kind of letting Peter Parker take a back seat. And it was described in an interview as like Robert Pattinson's Batman. Most of the movie was obviously Robert Pattinson, like 95% of the movie was Robert Pattinson as Batman, and like 5%, 10% Bruce Wayne. And it seems like with this new Spider-Man movie, that's exactly what they want to do as well. Have 95% of the movie be Peter Parker as Spider-Man and not being Peter Parker and fully embracing being Spider-Man. And I personally, I think this is a good idea. And the reason I say that is because we're trying to lead into the symbiote storyline, right? So in Spider-Man's, you know, origin, you know, Homecoming, Far From Home, and No Way Home, you had Peter growing as a superhero, you know, realizing he doesn't exactly want to be an Avenger. He wants to be a street-level, friendly neighborhood Spider-Man and help the average everyday man, which is what Spider-Man's hero has been since day one, helping everybody and being everybody's hero. Or the everyman's hero, as they would say. And in this new trilogy, starting with the fourth movie, Spider-Man kind of just says, well, Peter Parker hurts people. Peter Parker puts people in danger. I'm better off just embracing Spider-Man and being Spider-Man and fighting crime rather than living the life of Peter Parker. And that's where this movie is seeming like they want it to go. And obviously you would have, you know, there was another description of like, you know, being Spider-Man, rather the city loves him for it or not. Obviously that can be referring to, of course, J. Jonah Jameson being out there and still ragging on Spider-Man, causing a division. But as we know, and we've talked about this on the channel before, and many other people in the same space has as well, we obviously know Kingpin is being set up to be Mayor Fisk by the end of Daredevil Born Again, going into Spider-Man 4, and obviously Kingpin is going to be outlawing vigilantes in New York City. So this, of course, is going to cause people to look at Spider-Man in a negative light from that aspect as well. It's also talked about that, you know, Kingpin is speculated to be like the big bad villain, of course, of the street level Marvel side. And Spider-Man 4 is supposed to be like this big, you know, like street level Avengers level movie. But there's also talk of it just being, you know, Spider-Man and Daredevil, or maybe even Jessica Jones thrown in there. But we'll have to just wait and see as the movie gets closer. We know Daredevil's pretty much going to play a either major to minor significant role in the movie. I mean, it's kind of set in stone, unless Sony comes in and just derails everything somehow. But I think they kind of settled on that. There's also rumors of Tom Hardy's Venom maybe, you know, fighting Spider-Man in the movie, potentially. But we know that Tom Hardy's Venom is most likely coming back to the MCU by the end of his own movie, which is probably a part of the contract negotiation with Marvel Studios. Like, okay, you know, you guys get to choose the director, you guys get to do the story that you guys want to do, but Venom comes into the MCU, and we also get our release date that we want for the movie. So maybe they worked out something like that. I'm not saying that that's true, but I'm thinking it's kind of like a 50-50 split. Like, Marvel Studios gets to do the story that they want, they get the director that they want, however, Sony gets the release date that they want, and to bring Venom back into the MCU canon. So, that's what it's seeming like right now. And when you hear more about Venom 3, which comes out, I believe this October or November, when you hear more about Venom coming out later this year, it sounds like he's going to be going back to the MCU. And that's kind of what they're setting up. So, we'll just have to wait and see what happens. But I personally like this story. You know, Peter Parker just fully embracing Spider-Man, leaving Peter Parker behind, and fighting crime and stuff. It's kind of like the opposite as to Spider-Man No More, where Peter Parker gives up the, you know, mantle of Spider-Man and just lives his life as Peter Parker. They did a little bit of that in Spider-Man 2, and I personally thought it was a great arc. So it's going to be very interesting to see the reversal in this movie. But the reason that I brought up earlier going into the symbiote storyline that this is a perfect idea is because with Peter Parker being so alone and feeling so bad about the pain that he's caused those that he's loved him, it will lead to, like, this isolated mentality, this angry personality that gets, you know, or this anger that gets buried deep inside of him. And when the symbiote latches onto him, whether that's at the end of Spider-Man 4, leading into the next two Avengers movies, or he gets it in Secret Wars, regardless of when he gets that black suit, the seeds have been set for his, descent into anger and into that addiction state with the symbiote. And like in Spider-Man 2, the most recent video game, Peter was still dealing with the grief of Aunt May dying, dealing with the fact that Harry's dying, dealing with the fact that, you know, he's losing the house and stuff. Like, all of this anger and the sadness being built up in Peter gets outwardly manifested when the symbiote gets attached to Peter and starts learning about, like, his emotions and what he's feeling. And then, of course, the symbiote then influences, you know, Peter to act upon those emotions. And I think that it's like Spider-Man 4 and the story that they're going for sets up that symbiote storyline very well for the MCU. Now, granted, we don't know how dark they're going to go with the symbiote story. We don't know how brutal Peter's going to be. I would argue that the Spider-Man 2 version, the video game version of the black suit storyline, is the darkest Peter has been. Like, it's the most brutal that he's been, the most, violent that he's been. And I've read a lot of the comics, right? And obviously the comics get very dark, as opposed to video games. But if we're talking about, like, live action media in any kind of way, rather that's gaming, TV shows, or movies, I think the Spider-Man 2 video game is the darkest. Not so much from the comics, but, you know, in the quote-unquote live action, or as close as you can get, sense. So that's, like, what's going on with Spider-Man 4 right now and kind of, like, where they're moving towards. And I'm pretty excited to see how that all plays out. And I think that that's great. But lastly, I want to talk about a little bit the Spider-Man animated series that had been announced a while ago. I think it was at a previous D23. I could be wrong. But they essentially announced like a whole bunch of Marvel projects. And Marvel Animation talked about Spider-Man Freshman Year. Originally, Spider-Man Freshman Year was a idea pitched that it was going to be Spider-Man before he met Tony Stark in Civil War. So essentially, it was going to be like Spider-Man the 6 months prior to him being recruited into the Avengers or to, you know, fight Captain America and, you know, his side in the Civil War story. But it quickly became apparent that a lot of, like, that setup made no sense because you started seeing villains like Rhino and Scorpion and Doc Ock and, you know, stuff pop up and you saw, you know, Norman Osborn and Harry Osborn and it's like they don't exist in the MCU, so how does this make sense within the MCU canon? Come to find out, this Spider-Man series is going to be a multiversal story of Spider-Man and not connected to the canon MCU. And it has now been renamed from Spider-Man Freshman Year to Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man. Now, the only major difference in this logo from the original logo is the Your Friendly Neighborhood part. That is the only major difference. The rest of the logo looks exactly the same. And I'm still excited for this as a Spider-Man fan. More Spider-Man content, something new, a multiversal story so they can do whatever they want with it. I think that's great. So I'm very excited to see how that works. But I don't know when this one's coming out. I'm still not sure as to when this is coming out. I hope within the next few years because I'd like to watch some more Spider-Man stuff. Also, X-Men 97 is out now, too, so I do need to watch that and give my review on that. And Godzilla vs. Kong, or Godzilla X Kong, whatever, is out now as well in theaters, and I do need to watch that and do a review for you guys about it. I've been waiting to watch this movie. It's not my most hyped movie of the year. Obviously, I'm looking more forward to Venom and Deadpool and Twister over Godzilla and Kong, but I think it's a great start to the movie year. Guys, I have so many movies to watch this year. I got what? I got Godzilla Kong, got Deadpool, Twister, Kraven, Venom. I think there's one other movie in there, too. I think it's a horror movie. I think there's a horror movie coming out that I want to watch. I just can't remember off the top of my head. But there's a lot of movies coming out that I want to watch this year. So I'm pretty excited overall for the amount of content I have coming at me this year. Obviously, Agatha's coming later on this year. I'll probably watch that and do a review on it, even though I'm not really super hyped for it. But that's really all I have for you guys news-wise. Obviously, you know, there's so much stuff going on. Like, there's Scream 7 stuff that's going on. There's a big, you know, divide right now on people that are like, oh, I'm excited for Scream 7, and other people saying that they're not, and that tends to get more politically charged the more you look into that. And I don't really want to discuss Scream 7 or any movie from a political standpoint, even if, you know, outside politics influences how people look at the movie or a project or the people involved. You know, I try to stay away from that. If we're gonna talk politics, we'll do that on Rumble or something. But thank you very much for listening. I hope you all enjoyed. I can't wait to share more on Spider-Man when we get closer to it. Daredevil Born Again and whatnot. I actually haven't heard a lot on Daredevil Born Again in a while. It's gone quite silent. Obviously, on my Twitter, you know, I have like the behind the scenes photos and stuff of like Bullseye, the new Daredevil suit, and you know, Foggy and Karen being back on set and stuff. So, you know, I haven't heard a lot since then. But I can't wait for that series next year. That is my most anticipated series for next year is Daredevil Born Again, and I'm so pumped for that. But next time I do a podcast on here, it's probably going to be game related unless some like bigger, like big major Marvel news comes up, in which case I'll probably cut into it. I do want to do a podcast talking about Helldivers and doing a Helldivers review. I might end up doing that, but I'll do it in a less, I guess you could say, style, like podcast style. Because normally when I do a podcast, I cover like multiple topics. And I think what I'm going to start doing going forward with podcasting is my reviews and my podcasts are going to be separate. So they'll be like either in their own playlist, or that maybe I might even create a separate channel specifically for movie reviews. But we'll see. I'm kind of tinkering around with that idea. Because, obviously, if I do a whole podcast reviewing a movie, it's not really a podcast as it is a movie review. So, I just might want to do things a little bit separately, if that makes sense. Yeah, so I got a few other projects in the work. But if you guys are interested in my Rumble content, after this video, I'm going to be recording. I'm getting a double upload today. I know, crazy. I am going to be doing a podcast episode for Rumble, talking about Matt Walsh versus gamers and the whole Gamergate 2 situation, Sweet Baby Inc. and whatnot, as well as talking about the Daily Wire firing Candace Owens and that whole thing and kind of giving my takes on that. So if any of those topics interest you, go over to the Rumble. If not, I will catch you all in the next episode on the main channel here. And thank you very much for listening. Catch you all in the next one.